Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And today I have with me Richard DiZarega, and we're going to be covering native iOS development.
That's right. So we've done a few different modules on getting started with different mobile technologies. We did Apache Cordova. We've done some native Android.
Yep.
And we thought it was time to get into some native iOS development.
Yeah, very exciting. So I was actually, earlier this week, I was in Brazil doing one of the Cloud Roadshows, and that came up a lot, actually. I would say about a third of the audience was doing some native iOS
really?
Development. Yeah, and so they were really excited to see that we have the Graph SDK in preview and that we have all of these other resources. But yeah, they were definitely jonesing for a native iOS
demo. Cool. Well, hopefully. Well, hopefully we'll show them it's pretty easy to get started. It's not much code at all. We have a lot of, like you said, the SDK for the mm-hmm. Graph, a lot of things for Azure AD that make authentication easier, and
yep.
So we'll knock it out. I will kind of throw the caveat out here that iOS development, obviously there's really two language choices you can make. Objective-C has been around a long, long time. Really, a lot of the new things that are going on in Xcode and iOS development is in Swift.
Yep.
I come from a .NET background, Java background, and that's a little bit easier for me, so that's what we're going to do today. What you'll find, though, is a lot of times as an early Swift developer, I found that I could only find samples in Objective-C.
Right.
And so you'd have to translate like how an Objective-C call would be in Swift, and it's really not that hard to do that translation. And my guess is if there are Objective-C developers that are watching this, they'll probably have an easy time of being able to translate what I'm doing. There'll be one additional step that I do that they don't even have to do. So,
oh, cool.
We'll go with it.
We'll point it out when you get there.
Cool. So, the first place, if you want to get information on connecting to the Microsoft Graph, we have a really great website that aggregates a lot of the graph information, has information on how I register applications, the documentation on the APIs themselves, has links to samples. So if you go to graph.microsoft.io, you can find that. And this is, again, it's a really great one-stop shop for this. So what I need to do is register an application. Anything that connects to the graph needs to be set up as an application.
Mm-hmm.
We need to specify the permissions that we want to use in that application. And so that's my first step in this process. So I'll go out and click on app registration. You have a couple of options. One is we can use this Office 365 app registration tool. That's what we're going to use today. In the future, we have a kind of a beta or preview experience mm-hmm. that actually will do combined authentication. What I mean by combined, there are different services that serve organizational customers mm-hmm. and consumers.
Yep.
So a good example is there's OneDrive for consumers, and then there's OneDrive for business that organizations might use. You might have organizations using Exchange Online, and you might have consumers using Outlook.com.
Right.
We're going through an entire unification process right now where we're trying to make it, as a developer, you go through one authentication flow, you get a token back from that, and then you call one endpoint, and based upon like what a user used to sign in and get that token, we'll automatically go to the right service. And so you can play with this kind of what we call this converged auth and converged mm-hmm. endpoints. It's in preview, so definitely check that out. Today, it's mainly around getting information from mail, calendar, and contacts type of information. Although we do have some OneDrive capability in there.
Yeah.
And more and more is being added as we move towards build and beyond. So you'll see more things light up in that consumer converged experience. But to kind of take a little tangent there, we're going to go with the Office 365 app registration. So I'll go ahead and click on this. This is going to require that you have an Office 365 account and that you have the permissions to set up objects in Azure Active Directory for that tenant.
Yep.
And so what I'm going to do is sign in here with one of my Office 365 accounts. So I have this little RZ Demos user. I'll go ahead and sign in. And that's going to bring us back to this little registration form where I can do things like specify name for our application. We'll call this one, I think what we're going to do is connect to contacts. So we'll say this is the My Contacts from iOS. Now the application type is really important. Now this is something that's going to change in the future. We're kind of simplifying this a little bit. But here I need to specify whether or not I want a web app or a native application. I'm going to select a native application because obviously we're building something that's going to run on a mobile device, and that's what we mean native. This redirect URI, it's a little bit misleading. You might say, well, I'm not building a web application. Why do I need a redirect URI? Well, that's just a requirement of OAuth. And what we're going to find is I still need this redirect URI. I can really make it anything I want. I could call this HTTP Richard. What's going to happen is when I go and use the device and I go to sign in, it's actually going to be a little browser window that gets popped. It doesn't look like a browser, but ultimately we're loading the Azure AD or a federated login screen up inside the iOS app. And that browser control, what it's going to do once it's done signing in, it's going to go back to this address. And the browser control is just listening for that. It's saying, hey, have you come back to this? Because what that means is the authentication flow is done. So to make a long explanation of that is really this, even though it looks like, hey, I'm not building a web application, why do I have this? This is pretty common for these native applications, and it's used to help with that authentication flow. But it can really be anything.
And that login screen that pops up is the standard common consent one that you'll see regardless of whether you're on the native app or on a web app or doing anything really that requires the login.
So, absolutely. Yeah. It actually doesn't matter what you're building. It always loads that same type of consent
and we've
screen.
Shown that off in previous episodes too. So
let's go ahead and we'll say read contacts here. That'll be what we do in this. And I'm just going to say register application. This is going to go out and talk with Azure Active Directory and generate a new application object out there. And you can see it's done that. It's given us a client ID. What looks like it's missing here? You
see
anything?
The secret.
The secret, yeah. You probably have seen in the past when we've done a registration, there's a client ID and a secret. A native application doesn't have a secret. It's more of an implied flow because if I were to go and put a secret on a device, there's all kinds of malicious people that will try to decompile it and figure out what the secret is, and then they might be able to compromise the application. And so we don't have that with native applications. Awesome. So we're good to go there. Let's go ahead and kick up an Xcode project. So I'm going to go ahead and launch Xcode. We're going to get create a new Xcode project. We're going to just create a really simple single view application here. We're going to use basically a table view to display all my contacts. So you could go with something more complex. We want to keep it really simple here with that single view. And we'll call this the My Contacts iOS. We'll go ahead and create it there. Now, before I get into doing anything related to authenticating and calling the graph, let's just get kind of our user interface in order. There's a few things I want to do to just get that out of the way, and then we can really concentrate on some of the more interesting aspects of this. So the first thing I'm going to do, we just registered our app. I want to copy those details into this so that I can use it later. So what I'm going to do is go to my main controller here. This is the main view controller, and I'll kind of zoom in on this. I think I can zoom. Well, maybe not. We'll go ahead and add this here. So what I'm going to do is I have some O365 constants. I've created a little code snippet for this because I do it a lot. But what you'll see here is this is going to give me the main constants that I need, and I'll just zoom in. You can see I have things like an authority. I have the graph resource, the Microsoft graph resource. Then there's two things that I need to fill in, which is the client ID and that redirect URI. So let's go ahead and do that. We'll zoom back out here. Let's grab that client ID. We'll paste it in. And then our redirect, we just kept the default. Again, it really doesn't matter what it is. And we'll paste that in here for redirect. So we have all our constants. We're ready to go. This might not be where you like to put constants, but just to kind of simplify it and have it all in one file, that's where we're going to put it here. The next thing is I'm going to go over to the main storyboard for this application. So in this case, it's a little bit big, so I'm gonna zoom out on this a little bit. And let's change, first of all, change the inferred size. Let's do something a little bit smaller, easier to manage. So let's do like maybe a 4-inch iPhone screen. That'll make it a little bit easier for us to work with. And what I'm gonna do is let's add a few controls to this. Or actually just one main control. What I'm gonna do is add a a table view. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and just find our table view. And let's add it out here. And I'm going to just go ahead and set this to fill up our form in this case. And so I'll just leave a little bit of room on top so that we can still see battery. And let's put this on the bottom. So there's our table view. It's set up and ready to go. What I am going to do is in this table view, I'm going to create a prototype cell. Mm-hmm. So table view is going to show a bunch of rows. And the way those rows display is based on a prototype. And so what I'm going to do is come in here, and we'll say it's going to have one prototype cell. And then I'm going to go into that cell, and I'm going to specify a few details about it. One is I want it to have two lines. I want it to have a title line and then some details underneath. So I'm going to go ahead and click the subtitle example. And you can see that shows me exactly what that's going to look like. It's going to have a title and a subtitle there. And then the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give this cell an identifier so I can reference it in code later. So we're just going to call this, I don't know, data cell. It really doesn't matter. And so this, I believe, is done. Now, one other thing I want to do is I want to be able to work with this table view from my code. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm actually going to wire it up to that view controller that we worked with earlier. So I'm just going to grab this guy here, and we're just going to grab a, put a IB outlet in here. We could call this anything. We'll just call this my table view. There we go. And so now that's basically wired that up so we can reference it and be able to bind data to it and do all those sorts of things. And speaking of binding data, we're actually going to implement a few extra things so that we can bind data nicely. So one of the things we're going to do is we're going to implement the UI table view data source. So that's ultimately an interface we're going to leverage so that we can bind easily the data to that table view. Now that's going to require that we use a few things. Let's just see what it's barking about here. So it's saying it doesn't conform to, our controller doesn't conform to that. And that's because we haven't implemented the things that are required.
Yep.
I could find that really easily if I go into the detail of the UI table view. You can see what's required. So in this case, I need to implement, looks like two, and then there's some additional optional things that I could do. But at the very least, I need these two functions implemented inside of my view controller. So let's go ahead and go back, and I created a quick code snippet to do that as well. So let me just do my table view. And this just does like the core, like minimum implementation of this. If we were to zoom in a little bit, a few of the things that it's doing is, one is it needs to be able to get the number of rows that are in our table view. So you can see here, it's looking at some array and it's saying return the count.
Yep.
And then for where we're actually going and wiring up text into our cells, we need to go get a reference to the cell. Here's that prototype identifier. Remember when we did our prototype, I said we need to specify the identifier. And I think, I don't remember what I called it. I think
data
I called
cell.
Data cell. Thank you, Sonia.
Oh.
So we'll do data cell there. And one other thing is because this implements the UI table view data source, inside our view did load or view did load, one thing that we're going to do just as an additional thing is we're going to reference our table view. So we can say, what do we call it, my table view dot data source, and we're just going to say it's equal to self because this is implementing, it's basically a data source as well. So let's just see how things look. That's basically, we've created the user interface. Mm-hmm. Really haven't done a whole lot regarding authentication in the graph, but we do have our constants ready. So let's go ahead and run this in a simulator. I'm just going to go with like an iPhone 6 because it fits on the screen a little bit better. Go ahead and press play. And my build failed. Oh, I did not set my... For now, let's just return a static number of zero. So we have zero rows in our table view.
And so we're expecting it to show just the prototype cell?
That's right. It should just be... Well, actually, it will look like there's a lot of rows, but they're empty rows. That's
okay.
Just how the table view in iOS looks. So there we go.
Okay.
We have basically a bunch of empty cells. And that still is really big on the screen. I'll have to switch simulators. But ultimately, everything's working nicely.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get that fixed when I jump back in here. So let's start doing a little work around integrating the Office 365 APIs. So if we go back to our browser, we have a whole section in graph.microsoft.io on SDKs and samples. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you'll find is that we do have a V1 Microsoft Graph SDK for iOS. Mm-hmm. So you could go in here. In fact, it's open source. You can contribute to it if you feel like there's something that should be added or changed. You can submit issues. But this basically describes the process of using this. There's a number of different ways we can go reference this SDK. I'm going to use CocoaPods because it's really easy. It's a quick way of pulling things in. So you can see here, what we need to do is ultimately create a pod file that has these details. And in order for me to do that, we really want to close our Xcode project because we're going to ultimately convert it to an entire workspace because it's going to have some these external references. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Let's go back to Xcode. And I'm going to, we'll just close the project. And then I need to go find it in my terminal. So let's just do a cd to projects. We'll do iOS. And what did I call it? My
contacts iOS.
iOS, yeah. There we go. And so the first thing that we need to do is we need to do a pod init. So this is just initializing that pod file here in this project folder. So we'll do a pod init. Now if I go out to this in my Finder, what we should find, here's my getting started contacts. Here's our pod file. So I'm going to just go ahead and open this. Doesn't really matter. Oop, let's try that again. We'll just open it in a text editor. And I'm just going to replace everything in here with what we had. Now, one thing you do need to change is you see that there's a property for the Xcode project name. Mm-hmm. I definitely need to change that. So I believe this was my contacts iOS. There we go. That's important because it's going to go look for that project file to, in a sense, associate what we want. The important part of this is really this line right here. We're saying pod msgraph-sdk-ios. That's what's going to pull in that graph SDK plus any dependencies it has. It's going to have some additional dependencies on things like the Azure Active Directory Authentication Libraries, yep, or ADAL. That's just a special library that's going to make authentication easy for us. So let's go ahead and save that.
But that's already all integrated. So when you create the pod, it'll automatically.
That's right. That's all
that
I have to do is this one thing. So let's go ahead and do that. So we've done that. And the next thing I need to do is just a pod install. So this is going to go and basically update the repositories. If you look in the background, some of it already occurred. It actually updated a few things behind the scenes in my project. So you can see it's gone through that. The pod file is finished. It's pulled everything in. You can see some of the things that it pulled in, like the ADAL iOS, the Live SDK, a bunch of different things that it's going to use to easily work with Azure and Office 365. So after this, I'm in a good state. I can simply reopen this. Now I'm going to open it differently, whereas before I was working in a project file. We now should have a workspace file. So what I'm going to do is say open, we are my contacts iOS, and it should be a an XC workspace file. Yeah, I think it's a Xcode workspace. We'll try that. I always forget what the extension is. Does not exist. Well, we can do it from here. There's the workspace. So we'll go ahead and open up our workspace. If you look over to the side, you can see that we now have both the project and all of our pods in here. So you can see pods. If we go look in frameworks, there's some frameworks that might be in here and things like ADAL, Live SDK.
Yeah.
So now that we have that, we are ready to start integrating a little bit more. Now, one of the things that is, I mentioned earlier that as a Swift developer, there's an additional step. So if you're an Objective-C person, you don't have to do this. But most of these libraries that I pulled in were actually built in Objective-C.
Right.
And in order for me to leverage those Objective-C libraries and frameworks, I need to create a special, what we call a bridging header file that basically, it's in a sense, it's the bridge between some Xcode Objective-C code and bringing that into Swift. So let's just go to our project, and just in the root here, I can name this whatever I want, but I'm going to actually create a new header file. Header files are something you may not normally work with in Swift, but in this case we are. So we'll go ahead and create a header file. We'll call this, it could be anything, we'll just call this bridging header. And so here's our header file. What I'm going to do is ultimately import some of the key header files from those pods that we pulled in. And I'm going to cheat here because I always forget the exact ones. So I'm just going to pull those in here and we'll just highlight it. But what I'm going to do, where is it? There we go. So if you look, I'm importing things like the AD authentication context.h, an ADAL dependency resolver.h, and the MS Graph service header. So all of those are essential for what we're going to work with. You'll see that we're going to work with all three of those different classes. So there's a second step in using this bridging header. I actually need to associate it with our project. Right now it's just a header file that's sitting out there. I need to tell Xcode that this is the bridging header for
the
this
use,
Swift
yep.
project. So to do that, I'll simply go out to my project here, and under info at the very bottom, let's go here. Should be here. Build settings. And towards the very, very bottom of build settings, what you'll find is a place where you can specify your bridging header. It seems like every time I go to do this, I have to like search for it because there's so many settings on the build settings screen. But the format that this is going to take is it's you're basically going to put your project name. So in this case, it's my contacts iOS, and then the name of your bridging header file. So bridging header.h. So I always like to try a build after I do this to make sure that it found it, because it'll quickly argue if it doesn't. So let's just go ahead and I'm going to go down to iPhone 6 on this, and we'll go ahead and do a run. So you can see it's compiling a bunch of things because it's actually it found all those pods and it's associating those with the project here. So far, so we have some warnings. Those are in other libraries, so we really don't have any control over those.
Right.
But let's see if the rest of our project works, and it did. So we're in good shape. So at this point, and it's going to launch the app. So at this point, we're ready to actually start doing some of the integration. Now, the first thing I want to do is, now that we are referencing the Microsoft Graph SDK, the great thing about this is if you're building a native application, we have REST endpoints that you can certainly call into. REST is going to bring you back JSON data that's maybe not as easy to work with. You have to parse it into your own objects. And that's something that you might want to do anyway, but the Graph SDK gives me nice, strongly typed objects to work with graph objects. So what I'm going to do is, let's go back to our main view controller. Right up where I have some of the other things defined, I'm going to define a new variable. We're going to call this, we'll call this contacts, and it's going to be an array of MS Graph service contact. And see if it's not finding that. Well, we'll see if it does. So we'll go ahead and initialize this as an array. And we'll be loading this up later on as we work with our project. So I want to just make sure that found it. Let's do just a quick build here. Okay. I'm not sure why I didn't get IntelliSense, but hopefully it'll come up a little bit later. That'll be hard for me, but we'll see what we can do. So we have our contacts. So underneath in the viewDidLoad, I could certainly put a button to sign in. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to force the user to sign in as soon as the app launches. So what I'm going to do is start working with what we call authentication context. If you've seen us do anything with ADAL, which is one of the libraries we brought in through CocoaPods, it is a library to help us authenticate easily, do an OAuth flow with Azure Active Directory. And it's going to provide all the special storyboards that you need to do that. It's all kind of self-encompassed. So what I'm going to do is, I do this a lot, so I'm just going to put a little snippet in here to work with authentication context. And let me show you what's going on. Now, just to zoom in, So you could see I'm defining a new Azure or AAD authentication context. It's going to take some parameters that we've already defined as constants. So things like the authority, maybe what our client ID is, different things like that. Then what I'm going to do is say, using that context, go acquire a token for a specific resource. Again, this is no different than any other language you may have seen us do a sample on. It's always getting authentication context, and then you're getting a token for a specific resource. That's going to bring us back an access token, which is going to allow us to do whatever we want. So let's go ahead and let me zoom back out. Let's go ahead and put some of these constants in here. So for authority, we have a constant for that. For resource, we have the graph resource constant. We have a client ID. And we have a redirect. So just for fun, I could print out the access token here. Let's just see if we actually get this far. So let's do result access token. And we'll just print it to the console. And let's see if this now forces us to sign in. So we'll launch the same. I'm still wondering why that's so gigantic. Let's maybe go down to a 5S. So everything's compiling. Again, as soon as this loads, what it should force us to do, let me do this. There's a zoom on this as it's loading.
There you go.
I guess I haven't used those two emulators before. So this is launching, and as soon as it launches, it's going to force us into a sign-in process. And you can see it gives us the name of our application, my contacts from iOS, and we can ultimately sign in here. I'm actually not going to sign. Well, I'll go ahead and sign in. One thing I'll point out here is that this is going to automatically handle all of the token caching for you. It's not going to force the user to sign in every time they use the app, only once that token is
expired.
So I'll go ahead and sign in here, and because I'm using an emulator, I'm going to hide my password. There we go. So I'll go ahead and sign in, and you can see here's the second part of that consent that's just saying we want access to your contacts. I'll say accept. And behind the scenes here, what you should see, there's my access token. So it looks like a bunch of gibberish, but that is an access token. I could go paste that and de-encode it and be able to work with it. So let's kind of finish this sucker up now. I think we can do a few important things. One is, let's go ahead and make some of our table view things real. So what I'm going to do is, instead of hard coding this to zero, and I will zoom in on this, let's actually take our contacts. So let's say contacts.count. That's how many contacts we have. So that'll stay live. And then we need to set the details on our cell. So I can do things. Well, first of all, let's actually get a contact. So we're going to say contacts dot, or actually we're going to reference it by the index. So this passes in an index. So we'll say index path dot row. And I need to cast this as a contact. Actually, no, it should be fine. That should be fine. What is it barking at? Oh, it just hasn't been used yet. Okay, so now what I can do is cell, and we'll do things like, let's set the text label on the cell. This is the main label. So we'll say we'll set the text on this equal to maybe the contact dot display name.
So that's that title piece.
That's right. That's the title piece. And now let's do cell. And this one, the subtitle, took me a while to find this, but it's description. So we'll set the description text. Oh. Or no, I'm sorry, detail. I'm still not finding it. There we go. Detail. And we'll set the text field on this equal to the contact. Maybe let's go like with the email address.
Yeah.
So let's do email address. Ooh, it's an array. Well, we'll just assume, hopefully they all have one email address. And we'll go email addresses.address. And then we're returning the cell just like we were. What is this not like? Let's see. There we go. Okay, so that should be good. And it's still not liking what I'm doing here. Okay. So now let's change this up and actually use the Graph SDK. So far, really all we've worked with is ADAL. We've mm-hmm. authenticated, but now we need to get those contacts back. And so the way we're going to do that is we're going to use a client. If you've seen us use any of our SDKs before, it's always about getting a client. We'll get an Outlook Services client or a SharePoint client. In this case, we're going to get a Graph client. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is set up a variable for that. So we'll say, we'll do let.
You've been spending too much time in JavaScript.
I know. Let, and this is going to be an MS Graph Service client. So that's our type. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what this takes, so we'll just do create a new one, MS. And it's overloaded, so let me zoom out here. So we're going to take this first one that takes a string and a dependency resolver. So that's going to be something we're going to have to create here. So let's go ahead and do this. The string, what URL it's asking for is, what is the root path to the graph? The graph is something that's versioned. We have a beta endpoint on the graph. We have a V1 on the graph. In the future, we'll probably have a V2 and a V3. Who knows? In this case, what we're going to do is, we actually already have the graph resource, which is graph.microsoft.com.
And you defined it above.
That's right.
In the constant.
And so what I'm going to just add on to this, I'm just going to tack on V1.0. So we're just going to go against the V1 endpoint of the graph. Now, we don't have a dependency resolver, so let's go ahead and set up a dependency resolver. So let's say let resolver equals, and it's going to be, this one is going to be what we call an ADAL dependency resolver, because we're using ADAL to get tokens.
And you pulled that in through one of the header files that we pulled in through the pods.
That's right.
Right? So that's already there through the ADAL library that we provide.
Exactly. And so what this wants is, you can see it wants authentication context. Well, we have that for sure. So we'll say auth context. It wants a resource ID, which we definitely have. So we'll say self.graphResource. And the client ID, we definitely have that. So we'll say self.clientID. And then last but not least, we will do a self.redirect. So those basically, the resolver needs all those details as well. Now, this is set up to actually get a real graph service client that we can work with. We just need to put our resolver in here. Once all that's done, what is it not like on this one?
Graph resource.
Oh, okay. There we go. Now we are, well, come on.
And then maybe the same thing.
Oh, there we go.
And then the same thing with the exclamation mark. Yep.
There we go. Wow, it's one thing after another. I think this is fine. It's just saying that it hasn't been used yet. So we will use it here. So what we're going to do is on the client, this is where I can start getting some really nice, what I would call strongly typed queries into the graph. The REST endpoints, I think, are relatively easy with the graph. We've made it way easier than a lot of the other endpoints because it's things like me/contacts or me/direct reports, whatever.
Yep.
In this case, it's going to be all strongly typed. So I can do things like me dot, in this case, we want contacts. So let's do contacts. And then we want to, what we're going to do is we're going to do it based on a callback. So let's do a read with callback. And so what this is going to do, it's going to go and look for contacts. And once those come back, it's going to allow us to do some code here. And for our code, this is going to take an any object. So let's do a, we'll just call it list, and it's going to be of type array any object. And then we need an error, so we'll say error is going to be of type NS error. And then, let's see. There we go. So that's how we're going to do our callback here, where we can start working with the results. And what is it not like? Let's see, void is expected of type.
Yeah.
There we go. So let's, we have our contacts here, and the cool thing is all I need to do is actually just set it. We already have a contacts variable. You can see we've basically everything is based on that. So I can simply here just say contacts, and what we're going to do, or actually I need to do self.contacts. And what we're going to just do is get the list, and we're going to ultimately cast it as a list of MS graph contacts, because that's the object that we're expecting on this. And then the last thing I'm just going to do is self.myview.reload data. So that's basically saying once we've set our contacts, we want to reload that table view now that it has the information that it needs. Use undeclared. Oh, it's not a list. I'm used to C# here. We're going to do an array. Okay. There we go. So that should be good. Make sure everything else looks happy. Let's give this a shot. I think we should have a completed application at this time. So you can see that it's really easy. It's ultimately like one line to get an access token.
Yep.
Now there's some checks in here on making sure my token isn't null. And then it's basically like two lines to call into the graph. So it's pretty easy. We just have to set up that dependency resolver and then actually go and make those calls. So let's go ahead and zoom out. Let's see if this actually worked. We'll go ahead and press play again. Bring up our simulator. Now it shouldn't prompt me to sign in. It should automatically here launch our app. But once this loads, we'll go ahead and launch this. And because we reset it, it's not going to have that cache token anymore. It's going to make me sign in, but it shouldn't be a big deal. It looks like we're just about done. There we go. Let's go ahead and press play on this. There's our app loading. Here's where it's prompting. I know you viewers are, will go mess with my account. So we'll sign in. Now it's going to come back. It's going to ask us to accept that. And come on, data.
There we go.
Yay, we have data. So pretty simple. I mean, if I were to zoom out on this, there's really not that much code in this. A lot of this is just because we're implementing that UI table view data source. The actual working with the graph is just this block right here, and couldn't be easier.
And we made it really easy with the SDKs.
That's right. The SDK makes it super easy. I didn't have to know what REST queries to call into.
Yeah. Very cool.
Cool.
Thank you. This is great. All right. So go develop a native iOS app hooking into Microsoft Graph. Lots of different endpoints and things that we're adding all the time there. So yeah, that makes it really easy with the SDK.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Happy coding.